It is in Mark, the 9th chapter. We'll be with you just for a little while this morning. The 9th chapter of St. Mark. I'll begin reading for you with verse 2. It says, "And after 6 days," say 6 days, "Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them." We'll jump down to verse 9, and it says, "And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead." Skipping down to 14. "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Yeah. Yeah. Then Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Yeah. Help thou my unbelief. Yeah. For just a little while, our theme is Jesus provides comfort for the troubled believer. And just as a subtopic, I want everybody to say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trouble is a word that we don't like to hear. It is a signal of difficulty or problems. It speaks of public unrest and disorder, and it causes distress or anxiety. In fact, trouble is one thing that cannot be avoided whether you are rich or poor. Everybody experiences trouble of some kind, and it's some type. The Bible confirms this in Scripture. Job 14:1 says, Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Further, I want to settle a mistake that many newborn believers in Christ have. Some think because of their election to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that everything is going to be perfect, no more trouble. Newsflash. I want to let you know today that this is not true. Everything will not be lovely. Everything will not be wonderful for you. Because the word of God declares, the psalmist says in the 34th psalm in the 19th verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I remind you of this scripture almost every Sunday. Also in St. John 16:33, it says, Jesus, where he declares unto him, these things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In both of these scriptures, the righteous, the believers, are assured that there will be trouble, but deliverance and peace are promised. This is something that Jesus had to instill in the hearts of his disciples. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus and his disciples enter a ship to pass to the other side of the sea. Scripture said that there arose a storm, and the waves beat the ship, and waters have entered the boat. Jesus is asleep on a pillar in the hind part. When they awake him, we know the familiar passage. Even James Cleveland wrote a song about it. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. Scripture said that the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The disciples said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? But Jesus' concern for them was, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? In Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, after feeding the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, Jesus sends his disciples by ship to the other side of the sea. Again, while remains to pray in the mountain. Scripture says that even was come in the ship with the disciples. They were out there in the midst of the sea. In other words, they were in the middle of the sea while Jesus was on land. Scripture said that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. Basically, the disciples were in trouble again. The Bible says that about the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m., so it is relatively dark on the sea, that Jesus begins to walk to them upon the sea. Jesus is walking on the water. He's not swimming, but walking. The disciples see what appears to them as a ghost and begin to cry out. Scripture said that they were troubled. When you don't know what's going on and you think you're seeing something crazy, you get worried. And they were worried and began to cry out. Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In an account of this occurrence in Matthew 14 and the 28th verse, Peter asked, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter came down to Jesus out of the ship and began walking on the waves to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, meaning that the winds were loud, they were noisy, stormy, unrestrained, Peter began to sink. How many of us are walking fine with a low until the storms of life begin to blow? Until trouble comes. Until things begin to hit you. The doctor gives you bad news. There are problems on the job. But you need to do what Peter did in the same instance. Peter cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Jesus speaks to Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when Jesus and Peter went up into the ship with the other disciples, the wind ceased, and they were amazed beyond measure. In Matthew 14:33, it says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Whenever you're delivered, you got to praise for the Lord. Whenever you come out of trouble, oh, you can give God thanks. Hallelujah, for what he has done. Some of you that won't praise him, you go into trouble so that God can deliver you so that you will praise him. Now, as we approach our text this morning, in Mark 8 chapter and Matthew the 16th chapter, and it also is in Luke the 9th chapter, we have accounts concerning Jesus talking to his disciples, asking them, whom say the people that I am? Then Jesus wants to know, but whom say ye that I am? Peter, always enthusiastic, always outspoken, responds, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is extremely important what Peter has said. The Christ, meaning the anointed one, the chosen one. And Peter also declares, the Son of the living God. Where the expression son of implies one of the same nature. So here Peter acknowledges that Jesus has the nature of the living God. Jesus responds to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter had received spiritual insight. After this, Jesus proclaims and says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He tells him, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then Jesus begins to explain his passion, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and raised from the dead on the third day. But Peter begins to be outspoken again. Peter took hold of Jesus and thought to correct Jesus, saying, Lord, this won't happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. In other words, you are a stone that could make me stumble. For you are not thinking of God's thought, but of human thoughts. Peter had just been praised for one response, but now he has been rebuked for another. He's got into trouble. I begin to think of Peter like a Cassidy's puppy, Koa. One minute Koa's doing right. He's getting pets and he's getting treats. The next minute he'll have an accident or do something wrong and have to be put in his kennel. He begins to wonder, why have you done this to me? But see, she's trying to train him that he's got to act right and he's got to do the things that are right. We need to be corrected every now and then to understand that there are some things that we need to do that are right, and there are some things that we do that are wrong. Here, now scripture tells us in Matthew and Mark that after 6 days, Peter has had to deal with this disappointment, with this rejection for 6 days. Koa has to stay sometimes in that pen for maybe some 6 hours. But see, he don't have to stay always. Trouble don't last always. Every now and then the cage door is going to be open and we'll get to come out. So after 6 days, we begin to find that Jesus decides to take Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain apart from the other disciples. Many people assume that Jesus took them because they were his favorites. However,
Jesus had a reason to take them. He had to work something out in Peter and have other witnesses present. Further, he had some trouble for the other disciples to experience at the base of the mountain. In this same account in Luke's gospel, I want you to get an understanding. We get some critical information that Matthew and Mark did not share. In Luke, we understand that the Lord went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He began to transfigure. He altered in form. It was not a light that shined on Jesus like a spotlight. However, it was a change that resulted from the inside out that showed on the outside as he was glowing. In other words, Jesus was unmasking himself so that the glory on the outside could be revealed. Jesus, in humanity, had to keep his glory concealed, covered up by this flesh, day in and day out. Now he is exposed and talking with Elijah and Moses. Luke's account even tells us what the conversation is all about. Here Jesus is talking with Moses, representing the law. He's talking with Elijah, representing the prophets, discussing, you know, the law and the prophets, discussing the working of God's plan of salvation through his death in Jerusalem. It has been often discussed that no man has seen God at any time. And it is true. In Luke's account, chapter 9 and verse 32, we find that all this is going on. And while these things were happening, Peter, James, and John were heavy with sleep. However, when they awake, as Jesus is concealing himself again, they're able to see the glory, the same glory that Moses saw back in Exodus. It is here that Peter sticks his foot in his mouth again and offers to build three tabernacles, not knowing what he should say. But there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They are afraid. They think they're in trouble. But they should know that they are with Jesus. And since they're with Jesus, everything was going to be all right. As the cloud overshadowed him, they heard a voice come out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." This event left such a lasting impression that Peter writes about it in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Peter tells the reader that they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Further, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Well, now, they're about to come down from the mountain. I told you we wouldn't be too long. But they're coming down from the mountain. And as they are coming down from the mountain, there's a great multitude with the remaining disciples. They were left at the base of the mountain, and they are having trouble. The scribes are confronting them, criticizing them. But here comes Jesus to the rescue. The Bible says that Jesus finds some complaining scribes, a distracted father with a demon-possessed boy, a mob of onlookers, and a defeated group of disciples at the base of the mountain. The father tells Jesus, "I brought my son to your disciples seeking help, but they could not help me." Jesus responds, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the boy to me." The father tells Jesus that his son has had this condition since he was a child. He had endured this condition a long time. How many of you have been suffering with something for a long time? You've been dealing with an ailment for a long time. You've been worried with a problem for a long time. The father explained, the boy has a dumb spirit. He says the child is unable to speak normally. He goes on to tell Jesus what happened to the child. When we get in the Word of God and we begin to look at it in verse 20, it said straightway when they bring the child to him, that the spirit tear him and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. However, you need to realize that when you get close to Jesus and the devil is around you, the demon knows, hallelujah, in this case, that his time is about up. Things are about to happen. So he wants to do as much damage as possible. Don't you know that the devil knows that his time is almost up? And so that's why he's pulling out every punch. He's doing every trick. He's trying to disturb you the best that he can. But hallelujah, Jesus is there to rescue us. We get to verse 22. And he began to tell Jesus, the Father, he said, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Hallelujah. Every now and then you just got to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to come into my situation. I can't bear it no more. I can't take it no more. And I need you to help me. I need you to do what I asked you to do. Hallelujah. There's one thing that you had to understand. Hallelujah. That I seem to let you not get to. When Jesus came down from the mountain, he brought Peter, James, and John. You had said, and I talked to you before, that he had taken them because there were some things that he needed to do in them. And also some things that he needed to prevent them from. We know how Peter has got a hair trigger. Peter, if he had been down at the base of the mountain with the scribes, that mob might have cut somebody's ear off. And you know, James and John, hallelujah, they were called the sons of thunder. Because, see, their mouths run off without knowing what to do sometimes. And if they had been down at the base of the mountain, they might have said something that got them in trouble. Don't you know that God keeps us from some things that we could have gotten ourselves mixed up with that we wouldn't been able to handle? But, hallelujah, God tests your test and knows what you can handle. And he knew that the remaining disciples could handle this mob until he got there. Hallelujah. And we begin to find this father begging for help for his child. And is he begging for help? The Bible said, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible said it straightway, hallelujah. The Father said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We need to ask God to help us. We've got a measure of faith, but every now and then there's the waves of this life that begin to challenge you to your faith. Even is challenged. Your confidence in God is hurt. And you begin to get a little weak at the knees. And begin to wonder what's going on. This week, hallelujah, I knew that after we'd had a blessed time on Sunday, the devil was going to fight as never before. Hallelujah, we coming off of the 40-day fast. I knew that the enemy was going to rise up and try to do everything that he could. And as things begin to happen all week long, I got phone call after phone call. This one is sick. Phone call after phone call. This one is in the hospital. Phone call after phone call. There's trouble. There's issues. And even on my job, the enemy tried to cause chaos and confusion. All of the bosses were out. My bosses went home on vacation to Canada. There was death in the family of one of the other leaders. Somebody else was gone and missing in action. And on the last 2 days of the week, they come to me and say, well, Charge, you're the next in charge. What should we do? And what is going to happen? I began to pray and I said, Lord, lead me and guide me. Lord, direct me. Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But God began to work things. God began to bless things. And I made some decisions and I might not be too happy when they come back Monday or what I decided. But hallelujah, I decided it with the will of God. But child of God, no matter what confusion and what problems come, I know where to go because Jesus is my source and Jesus is my help. As the man would tell Jesus that I need your help because my son has been dealing with this a long time. He's been going through a long time. And oftentimes it throws him into the fire and oftentimes through the water. But my Bible began to let my mind go back to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, that said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Hallelujah. He says, I was precious in my sight, and fear not, for I am with thee. You got to tell yourself that I got to hold on because the word of God says that I'm precious in his sight. I've got to hold on to the word of God because God's word is the only thing that's going to help me to get out of this situation. Isaiah also says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Hallelujah. All he had to do was call for help. And as he called for help, the Lord, hallelujah, spoke to that demon. It still tried to tear him. As he lay there as a dead boy, the Bible said that Jesus picked him up by the hand and restored him. All you gotta do is be in contact with Jesus. All you gotta do is trust in Jesus. All you gotta do is depend on Jesus. All you gotta do is believe on Jesus. You said, I believe on Jesus. I trust in Jesus. I'm counting on Jesus. However, but you, get shaky sometimes. That's why you gotta stay in the Word of God. It is the only thing that is gonna settle you and keep you where you need to be. That's why I keep going back to Isaiah, because Isaiah encourages me. When I get sick, I think of Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I put it in your program this morning and let you know that he was wounded. I let you know that there's some stuff, hallelujah, that we got to understand. He was bruised. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The devil wants you to forget these things when trouble comes, when the doctor gives you that bad news, when trouble begin to happen in your home, when issues begin to happen on the job. But I'm here to let you know, no weapon formed against you. Isaiah told you that in the 54th chapter, the 17th verse, no weapon that is formed. I'm here to let you know that weapons will be formed. Trouble will come. Issues will happen. But the word said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. This is the promises of those, the heritage of those, hallelujah, believers, the righteous. It's not for everybody. But see, if you've been covered
by what Sister McKenzie had said, the name of Jesus. You who have been covered by the name of Jesus, you in good hands. Even though the devil tries to shake you, even though the devil tries to destroy you, even though the devil tries to do anything, hallelujah, but you're in good hands with Jesus if you're covered by the name. If you're covered by the name, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. If you're covered by the name, he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. If you're covered by the blood, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. He didn't say the Son of Man. But those that are covered by the blood. Somebody need to get under the cover. Somebody needs to get under the cover. The covering of Jesus. Somebody's outside the cover and you don't realize. But today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. There's covering in the name of Jesus. That's why Peter, James, and John were all right. Peter got on the water and began to sink. Lord, help me! Immediately Jesus came to his rescue. The waters came into the ship when they were going to the other side. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He rebuked. Peace be still. Everything calmed down. When the child of God goes through a storm, Jesus will speak a word of encouragement. You might have to go through for a while. Hallelujah. But the scripture said, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Delivered what? Them. Who is that them? The righteous. Those covered. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm one of them. Who wants to be one of them today? Who wants to be one of them today? They can say, Lord, help us. When the righteous call, he heareth them. When the righteous call, he heareth them. You want to know why so many people call us? Can you pray? My this is going on, my that's going on. Why? They know when we cry, he heareth us. That's why you call us for prayer. That's why you call for help. You don't call the dope dealer for help, do you? You don't call the drug addict. You don't call the drunkard. You call somebody that you believe can get a hold of Jesus. Them who are covered. Them who've been baptized. They've been blood washed. They've been anointed with the Holy Ghost. That have power. As we continue in that passage in Mark, when he gets by themselves with the disciples, they asked Jesus, Lord, why could we not cast him out? There are some things that you got to know. Jesus had given them power and authority over demons and spirits before. But here was one they couldn't handle. They were confused. They were bewildered. They were discouraged. They were tore up. Lord, why couldn't we do it? He said, these kind come by fasting and prayer. These disciples was eating. They had Jesus with them. They didn't have no time to fast. They was eating. Everything going good whenever they had trouble. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Well, see, they were full. Full of lamb, full of chicken, full of food. They wasn't praying. They were just calling Jesus right there. Jesus is not here with us in fleshly form. So today and every day, I got a call on him. Every day, I got to fall on my knees. Every day, I seek him. And I say, Lord, I need your help. There are several times a week that I push my plate back because I know I need to be empty so that the spiritual man will rise up when I get on the job and all hell breaks loose. All trouble come. That day when all the bosses were gone and they looked to me, I hadn't eaten that day. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. Because see, something would have risen up in my physical man. But God kept me and held me. And while I was praying all the time, God was working behind the scene. Every now and then, you need to call on God. You need to do it daily and even several times a day. There's weeks that you need to fast at least once or twice every week to push your plate back so that when the storms of life are raging, so that when trouble arises, so when the confusion comes, that all you have to do is say, Lord, help us. Lord, come into the situation. Lord, heal this sister and deliver that one. See, I gotta pray and fast often because not only am I covering myself, but I've gotta cover the saints of God. Hallelujah. I've gotta be in a position where that I can call on God. Hallelujah. The devil would desire to sift me as wheat, and he would desire to sift you as wheat. He would desire to destroy all of us, but we got to hold on because God has got yet a work for us to do. There are souls that we still have to deliver. There are some with compassion. There's others that we've got to pull out of the fire. But all the time that we're going through these things, we've got God with us because he is our present help. And that's why he told his disciples in John the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. They said, Lord, show us the Father. See, they wasn't with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain of transfiguration. And he began to say, when you see me, you see the Father. Let it be suffices. Because see, I'm just concealed by this flesh. I'm just covered up because you couldn't stand to see the glory. I'm just in this mass, in this God, because you couldn't stand to see the power of God come near. But see, there is a time that's going to come where you'll be able to behold me. That's why John the writer began to say, beloved, what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. He began to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, that we shall be like him, because we'll see him as he is. Hallelujah. I've got the hope to see Jesus as he is, in his divinity, in his glorified nature, with all power. I want to see him, and I got to live holy and acceptable in his sight. And while I'm going through, I know that I'm going to go through tribulation and trouble. That's why the Sunday school lesson told me today that the tribulations are going to come.
but they just working some stuff in me. Tribulations have come so that I'll have some experience, so that I'll know what God can do. And so that when God delivers me out of one test, hallelujah, I know that I can make the next test. When the Lord delivers me out of one trouble, I know that I can get out of the next trouble. When the Lord begins to save me and provide victories for me over and over again, I know, hallelujah, that the same God that did it before will do it again. The same God that came through the last time is going to come through again. And all I've got to do, because I call on him often, and he knows me by name. He knows every hair that I have, the black ones and the gray ones. He knows every hurt that I have in my knees and in my arms and in my shoulders. And he is just keeping me going. I say, Lord, hallelujah, I need your help. I need your help. I don't know if I can make it anymore with these knees and things. They're bothering me. But he tells me, just like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I will help you. I'm walking better now than I was walking when I first came. Because, see, the anointing of the Lord will give you strength to go on. The anointing of the Lord will allow you to continue on. But child of the living God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're walking because God's word keeps us going. And child of God, when you need help, all we have to do is say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he'll help you. He's helping somebody right now. I don't know what you're going through, but somebody has gone through trouble this week. If you have, blow your horn. Somebody's had confusion on this week. Blow your horn. I know I'm not the only one, but are you here today? If you're here today, it's because God kept you. You're here today because God loves you. And he has not allowed you to be consumed. That's why we praise him. So many times the tests of this life burden us so that we can't give a praise. But David said, my soul shall boast in the Lord. I got to make myself praise him. I got to make myself say hallelujah sometime. Because God's been so good. The devil thinks he can shut me up. But I ain't going to say it louder. I'm going to scream it to the rooftop as loud as I can, because God has been so good. God has been so good. And if you need help today, on three, say, help me. Lord, help me. One, two, three. Oh, somebody don't need help today. One, two, three. Somebody don't need help today. One, two, three. Oh, do you need him? Do you need him? Do you need him? If you need him, he'll come. If you need him, he'll rescue you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. See, there's times you've been in the car when the deer run across that you didn't have time to say, our Father, which art in heaven, how? All you have is a help, Lord, or Jesus. See, when you have a relationship with him, you don't have to say a lot of words. He knows who you are, where you are. See, our God has got GPS. God's power supplies. GPS. He knows where you are and immediately can disperse power to supply what you need. That's God's GPS. He knows where you are, who you are, and what's going on. God wants to help somebody today. He knows that you're here in this parking lot on this Sunday. And he says, come to Jesus right now. Just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Right now. He is waiting. He is waiting. He is waiting right now. Right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us to know that you are yet with us. And all we have to do in troubled times to be comforted is just to call on you for help. Lord, we've seen episode after episode in your word where you came through for your disciples, where you came through for the righteous, where you came through and delivered. Oh, we could go on for days, weeks, for each story, each issue, each episode in the word of God. We even have testimonies where you come through for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you for what you have done and what you're yet going to do in the lives of your people. As we're here today, oh God, touch somebody's heart. Touch somebody's mind, that boy, that girl, that man, that woman. Let them grab hold of faith. Lord, because trouble is coming. Tribulations are coming. Problems are coming. And Lord, they'll be pulling their hair out. But Lord, let this word be there for them. That you're there. And that all they need to do is cry to thee. Come to thee. Get covered in the blood of Jesus. Be blood washed, baptized in your name. You are faithful to give them the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence in speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God giveth us, that they may have power. Lord, they need the power. I need your power. We need your power. Do it for us, Lord. 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 Help somebody. Hallelujah. Help today, Lord, as they've cried out. Lord, you know Sister Level needs help at the hospital. Sister Wendy, Stephen Towns, they need help. Hallelujah. 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 Jayla, her husband, they need help. Hallelujah. We need help. Help your people, oh God. Martin Rhea needs help. Electrolux needs help. Hallelujah. Every plant in town needs help. Every household needs help. Hallelujah. And we're standing here waiting on you, oh God. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. 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 Satan! The Lord, one more time. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. We claim victory. We claim victory. We proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. What I say unto what? I say unto all. Watch and call him. Hallelujah.